Good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. Happy to have you with us on this Sunday morning. Put a jacket on this morning, Charlie Weiss. How about that?
I know. It's been Yeah, that's on.
Yeah, you're
my
here.
My headphones aren't working.
Oh, no. That's no good.
Bad. No, yeah, it's been chilly all week. It's been early fall, it feels like.
Kind of weird. Some people like it. Some people hate it.
Are people hating it? I don't know. I've been
overwhelmingly like hearing that it's a breath of fresh air.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, it was so hot.
Well, I had a great day yesterday. I got to tell you real quick before we get to our guests. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to MC and take part in an event called A Breath of Hope, which we have had on before, lung cancer survivors at the Lake Harriet. Beautiful day. Hundreds and hundreds of people walked around the lake to raise money for research for cancer, lung cancer.
What an absolutely beautiful day for that. Oh, they must have been absolutely thrilled.
Thrilled.
The turnout, I'm sure, as good as it could get.
100%. And so much money and such good cause. So we're really appreciative of them and look forward to working with them again in the future. But we're going to talk this morning a little bit more about when you go to the emergency department, particularly if you're an older person, if something happens, do you call 911 right away, 911? Or do you wait? Do you try to do something at home first? And we've had these folks on before, but they're good people, and we appreciate them. Pete Carlson is with LifeSpark. He's the Vice President of Acute Response Services, and he is on our newsline this morning to talk a little bit about that. When is something urgent? When it isn't not? And what do people that are going through it or their loved ones do if something comes up? So, Pete, thanks for coming on with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to be on. Thank you very much.
Well, I think this is a big question for a lot of people, whether you're younger or older. When is something acute? When do you hit 911 and rather than just try to find something at home to deal with the situation? So let's talk first about what is urgent response services. You know, is it something you guys provide or is it the call to 911?
Sure. So it's something that we provide, and we've seen more and more entrants kind of across the nation into this space. Put simply, it's how do we get an easy button in front of folks for those on-demand needs that pop up in between, you know, what is typically a scheduled visit, so with primary care or specialty care, et cetera. And so while it has a few different names across the country, if folks are interested, look into, you know, mobile integrated health, community paramedicine, emergency department at home, advanced primary care at home. But for us, where I happen to be now with LifeSpark is really focused on, you know, to kind of sum it up, right care, right place, right time. And so it's a set of services, including our triage team. So it's really important that members or patients they know who to call and when to call. And so we've broadened that aperture a little bit and said, call us when you're unsure of what you need. And we quickly provide what's called a level for those folks and are able to deploy care into the home when needed, otherwise route them into the hospital as well when needed.
So if someone is in a situation and they're unsure, they could also call 911, or what's the difference between what you're talking about and just reaching out and having like an on-call person help?
Yeah, absolutely. So really the important part of urgent response happens long before the crisis. It happens in the form of the relationship. And Dr. Schneeman was on, you know, a handful of weeks ago and discussed the 4 M's. And the most important thing that I heard him share with the audience was you listen to a story and you come up with a plan. A part of that plan is a contingency plan. And so what we do with our members proactively, kind of upstream, if you will, is make sure they really know how to address crisis specific to their disease processes. So absolutely still encouraging folks, call 911 as needed, especially for those real high-level acute crisis. But otherwise, we educate and extend an offering that they're welcome to call our triage team 24/7, and we'll walk through the issue with them and figure out what's going to be most appropriate for definitive care.
All right. We are going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to offer up our talk and text line, our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, and that is 651 561-9226. And people listening this morning can either use that number to text a question or to call and ask directly. But again, we're talking to Pete Carlson, Vice President of Acute Response Services with LifeSpark, and you're invited to be part of the program as well. We're back right after this. Welcome back. It is 17 past 7 on a Sunday morning. Happy to have you with us. My name is Susie Jones, along with Charlie Weiss, and our guest this hour is Pete Carlson. He is the Vice President of Acute Response Services with LifeSpark. We're talking about information that you need to know about when you're in an emergency situation, when it's urgent, whether to call 911, and a new kind of area of expertise, urgent response services. And we've invited you to be part of the show as well at 651-461-9226. Pete, I want to tell you, we have a question right off the bat. Is there a service area? Are you specific to one area? And is there a charge or subscription needed? And that was a question I had. Do you have to pay LifeSpark, or is LifeSpark paid for in a different way?
Sure. So specific to LifeSpark, I'll answer the question and I'll kind of zoom out. Service area, really, no. I mean, it's where the member lives within the metropolitan, and so it's quite large. We've got response happening in about a 2,600 square mile area. So technically speaking, I guess that is a response area. But these are folks who are on our LifeSpark Complete model. And that's another area where, you know, my answer will sound quite similar to Dr. Nick's. So, you know, there's no additional cost to the seniors. This is a part of that plan, of which we've got two payer partners in this market, both UCare and Blue Cross Blue Shield. And so your response kind of globally, you know, has been funded by grants, has been funded by CMS or Centers of Medicare and Medicaid initiatives, and also commercial payers. So it really depends on kind of where you live. If you're a part of our group and our family with the LifeSpark Complete model, this would be something that you automatically get.
So, again, you would call LifeSpark and say, here's my insurance. Is this something that I could do at no cost because I have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or the other one you mentioned?
Yep. So if you're in that specific product, absolutely welcome. And so happy to leave a phone number for folks to reach out to, or otherwise go to our website, which is lifespark.com.
All right, very good. Because it seems to me, if it's essentially free, is that kind of what you're saying? I mean, obviously you have Medicare and Medicaid, but if you're under those two insurance umbrellas, then it would not be an out-of-pocket cost to the person?
If you're under those insurances and a part of a specific product, and so folks would know that. They'd already have had one of our primary care providers in their home and established care, and so it's specific to those populations that we're already serving.
So could anyone have it, even if, like, for example, my mom, she's in good shape? Could she just have it as part of her plan, even though she's not sick and doesn't really need it? Like, why? Who would have it? Who would need it? Do you have to be sick to use it?
So I think, yeah, there's a current state and there's a future state. Current state, just through limitations as systems have been incentivized historically to call 911, transport to hospital. I believe, you know, again, listening to you and Dr. Nick talking about kind of that revolving door, those, to me, that history is really through incentivization. So we're watching those incentives shift. Today, as it stands, it's really only available, I'll say, to specific populations across, you know, multiple socioeconomic lines, across multiple complexities, but it's more about the product you're in. We anticipate there being more opening within multiple payers, and this becomes kind of common practice. So I don't know if that's the most direct response to your question, but right now this is a targeted opportunity for folks who are a part of LifeSpark Complete.
All right, very good. Again, 651-461-9226. We're talking to Pete Carlson, LifeSpark Vice President of Acute Response Services. And if you want to jump in at any time, please do so. Please feel free. You can even call if you'd like. Now, what are the kind of things that a person would use this for? Kind of give us a scenario. Is it a chest pain? What is it that they're calling?
Yeah, I like that you brought that up first as an example, we tend to we need to seek information very quickly on these calls so that we can appropriately hand off. And so chest pain and, things like if it's cardiac in nature, we're not going to be addressing that in the home unless, of course, it fits into that individual's care plan and their wishes, which is something we can touch on in a minute. But, put that. Think through kind of urinary tract infections, wound management, diabetic-related issues, some high blood pressure complications, heart failure exacerbation. A couple others would be chronic obstructive pulmonary disease complications, COPD. And then, the list of options that were discussed regarding geriatric syndrome, very, very important and near and dear to what we can offer. And lastly, rehydration or addressing nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, et cetera. So it's quite a long list. And what we do is collect that information, make sure that the individual isn't going to be at high risk of having interventional radiology or, perhaps a catheter placed for a heart attack, things like that. That is not what we want to be delaying care in. It's the rest of the items I listed that we're able to get out and address in the home.
And so you make the call to a number that you've been given as a part of the plan. Who comes out? Is it a doctor? Is it a nurse practitioner? Who comes out to address the issue? And do they come out?
Yeah, they come out as needed. I love that question. So, the leveling I touched on earlier, levels one and two, we're not necessarily going to come out. The nurse triage and the advanced practice practitioner or the physician are able to handle your complaint, real time, phone, video, et cetera. And then it's levels three and above that involve coming out. So three, it may be the advanced practice practitioner or the physician the next day. So we call that within a 24-hour period. Whereas level four, we're going to need to deploy a mobile urgent responder. And so our team has got currently nurses, and then we're also adding a paramedic to the mix, which I am as well by background. And so we will come out, within 3 hours to deal with the crisis, assist and communicate with family. And if it would be helpful, happy to kind of offer an example of that.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so, reviewing the stories, I guess, is what really keeps me motivated. But one example would be a member themselves or their family, calls in, and in this case, it's a 80-year-old gentleman that calls in who needs a little bit of help, has a history of chronic kidney disease, heart failure, and diabetes. So our team is brought in via triage. So again, this member calls and says, here's what's going on. And for this member in particular, I think it's really fun to highlight is what mattered most and what was very important for this person was to be well enough to go to his granddaughter's wedding, which was just a few days out. And so in that case, our physician deployed and gathered information and realized more needed to be done. And so the next day, our urgent responder went out, which is a nurse, and Leah was able to provide some stability, get some labs, also start an IV, give some fluid for hydration to address some dehydration. And ultimately, in the end, the member was able to go to the wedding, which is kind of one of those feel-good, fun wins. And then we also had to follow up rapidly thereafter to kind of continue that treatment. So that highlights how some of these complex members may need more than one visit in this environment. And so we're happy to provide that and make sure that they're able to, stay safe, stay home, and ultimately get what they need.
And why use this? Why not just call 911 and have a paramedic come to your home and take care of you?
Well, paramedics are great. 911 is great. I think there's a lot of reasons to continue down that path. We're seeing that industry, emergency medical services, also really step into this space of acknowledging that they too can provide a lot of this treatment and not even transport someone. So as we wait for everyone to kind of catch up on the financial payer side and other spaces, I think the reason to call this number is you get to be in your living room. It has kind of a concierge experience to it is what we're hearing from members and their family members. You know, we're able to call the daughter in Sacramento or the son in Baltimore and give the update. And you're not then crossing that threshold and kind of exposing yourself to some of the things that can go, you know, not great once you arrive at the hospital.
Yeah. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Pete Carlson. He is a vice president of acute response services with LifeSpark. And we invite you to be a part of the show as well at 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226 on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. If you have a question about what we're talking about, when to call 911, when to use another urgent response service, we'll find out more from our guest, Pete Carlson, right after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Susie Jones. We're talking about urgent response, not 911 necessarily, but when you're in a medical situation and you're not feeling right, generally we pick up the phone and we call 911. And we're talking about maybe a new way of thinking about an emergency or an urgency situation. And on our newsline this morning, on our Newsline is Pete Carlson, LifeSpark's Vice President of Acute Response Services. Welcome back, Pete. Glad to have you on with us.
Yeah, it's great to be on.
Yeah, wonderful. It's good stuff because I do think this is an area that is going to see continued growth as people continue to age. It's going to be more and more people in the situation where they're living at home. Or now obviously, if you're in a care facility, would you use this in a care facility like a memory care or a long-term care or assisted living?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The answer is yes. I think if you're in a community-based, whether it's apartment or house or townhome, or if you're in a congregate living setting, this is a great way to, again, have that opportunity or offer to kind of stay put, and we'll make sure to get the information needed, share it with your team that is on site and your primary care team. So as you can hear, hopefully the theme or thread developing here is, you know, we're really striving to be as integrated as possible. And that way there isn't that break in the continuum, which is kind of a reality in today's current state.
Meaning what? That you have different organizations and nobody's talking to each other?
I think they're trying their hardest, but in short, yeah, that's a bit of a reality, you know, and the electronic health systems often are the best way to try and communicate and share information. And it's come a long ways, you know, in the last couple of decades, but it's still just tough. And if you work in emergency medicine, the reality is you have limited time, limited window. And really it's, you know, the ERs or the emergency departments, you know, cannot become primary care. And that, I think, has started to happen. And we'd like to address that, slow that down, get upstream. And, you know, if you're living in a memory care or assisted living or independent living, this is a great way for someone to come out who knows your story, who knows your background, and wants to keep you on a trajectory of, you know, really executing your health span or making sure that your goals are being met.
And Pete, how many people do you serve roughly are in some of these, this complete package or the others? Do you have thousands of clients or? No, go ahead.
So the answer is thousands. And then what we're able to do, you know, back to the earlier insightful question around kind of what's the coverage area, we're able to get out and assist with, you know, 3 to 4 of those members for each of our 10-hour shifts that's doing urgent response. But beyond that, we're doing even more of those kind of lower level 1 and 2s per day. And so the adoption is there. And it's a great environment to really put this type of work in front of our members. And so to scale takes effort, takes work, because you're trying to bring a portion of the emergency department into the home. As you can imagine, that requires investment and time and training to get that vehicle ultimately equipped for this level of care. But yes, thousands.
Are you guys the only one doing this kind of service, or do other organizations, other even healthcare providers, have they created this same kind of an urgent response segment so that they don't have to have the ambulances going out as much?
Yeah, so there's a lot of great companies doing this work. What's unique, I suppose, or what can be missing and what brought me to LifeSpark over the last 7 months was really the opportunity, again, within that integrated concept, to have the primary care team have hospice on one side and have home care. And so it's this whole basket of services. It's very deep and it's really exciting. There are other solutions that are doing great work, even in this, Twin Cities market. And then at a national level, there's some pretty large, what are called value-based care players as well, who have introduced innovative models and I think are doing great work. And so it's fun to see this picking up steam.
And again, if someone signs up today and calls and you say, okay, is there an age as well? Do you have to be a certain age to be a part of the LifeSpark?
LifeSpark, yes. So you're of Medicare qualifying age.
65.
Yep.
Okay. And do you have to have a pre-existing condition? Do you have to be sick, or can you be healthy and just have it as a service?
Ultimately, if you're able to get the product within those two payers, your complexity is neither here nor there. We'll be able to assist with your needs. And which may be, more basic. Often we're dealing with and supporting what we call complex members and folks that are needing quite a lot of support and services.
Okay. And you said the payers, Blue Cross Blue Shield, what was the other one?
UCARE.
So if a person listening has either Blue Cross Blue Shield or UCARE and Medicare, they are under the umbrella, and they wouldn't have to pay for your service. They could just sign up because it's under that umbrella.
Yeah, I would encourage folks to reach out. There's other action to be taken. Would that be good to discuss a little bit?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so, I think at a high level, what I'm excited about with this space, having responded to thousands of 911 calls when I was a paramedic for a number of years in the Twin Cities, is we're really bringing house calls back. And that was very much a thing, just 90 years ago, that was accounting for about 40% of all physician patient interactions. And then it contracted down to a single percentage by 1980. And so, over the last 20 years in my career, I've watched and participated and worked with amazing people to see this shift. And one thing that folks can do proactively is make sure that you have your advanced care plan up to date. And that applies to all ages, adults, have that plan in place and not.
Pete, jump in here and tell me advanced care. What do you mean by that?
Sure. Yeah. So when you're meeting with primary care, and if you don't happen to have primary care, that's typically step one. but to be able to create your plan, your wishes that are specific to, resuscitation efforts and additional types of if this happens, then that. And so if I happen to be in a car wreck on the way home from the Target parking lot that has great cell reception, what do I want the folks to do and how do I want them to care for me? So it's similar to any other type of preparation or planning that we often naturally do. It hasn't been as widely adopted at younger ages in our country. But I encourage people to go through those processes. And then as you start to, age and say you run across some disease processes or you get comorbidities, you can start to zoom in and have specific contingency plans. Or maybe it's helping your spouse or your uncle or whomever it is in your life. Number two is to meet with your primary care provider and ask them, inquire whether or not they have any current kind of mobile response efforts. And if they don't, plant that seed and have that discussion, because we again see more and more care shifting towards value-based, kind of getting away from volume. Mm-hmm. And so it's great for people to be prepared and planned, and number two, be having this discussion so that you don't have to urgently have it when crisis arises.
And Pete, if often, like I will say, my mom has a DNR. That means that we are not to resuscitate her. If she's having a situation, we're not supposed to crack her chest open and get her back. If she just says that to me and doesn't write it down, that doesn't work, correct?
Correct. Yeah. That stood out to me that, you know, you share that on that past episode that I've highlighted a couple of times. And, you know, those unique treatment plans, or those PULSED is another term or acronym folks may be familiar with when you have physician orders for life-sustaining treatment. In addition to that, you may have a do not resuscitate. And it's, you know, it needs to be accessible when the paramedics or the EMTs arrive or the police arrive. And then that needs to be carried in 2024 as a piece of paper to the emergency department and handed to another human. And so the systems aren't quite there where that's really highly visible. And comfort care is another great example where we can end up frustrating our community members who show up to the emergency department and have heroic measures provided for them when that's not what they wanted.
A texter writes in at 651-461-9226. That's our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Do you do INR tests? And first of all, explain what an INR test is, and is that part of the service that you offer?
Yeah, interesting question. So the short answer is we would do an international ratio or an INR test, which assesses kind of the viscosity of if a member or patient is on a blood thinner, say they have atrial fibrillation and folks are prescribed Coumadin, that's kind of a common one, or warfarin, often they'll be subjected to routine weekly, monthly, et cetera, testing to make sure that they stay within a therapeutic range. And the short answer is we as an urgent response team do not provide INR testing. The system itself does as a clinic, because that's a common clinic function. But if we responded to a member who was presenting and had that history, yes, we're capable of doing an INR check. Otherwise, we're really trying to reserve this, you know, small but strong team for those crises that may involve, you know, heading into brick and mortar care.
And how do you make that decision? Is it sort of nuanced? I mean, if you're at a home and someone's having an urgent situation, does somebody make the call and say, listen, we can't get this under control, we need to call 911?
Correct. Yeah. So the responder, this is what's powerful and exciting about this, is back to my earlier comment about, you know, house calls. And obviously I talked about physicians there. So we've got this great team, multidisciplinary team, and the physician or the advanced practice practitioner is tagging along, if you will, on all of our visits virtually. And so that individual who gets on scene is collecting more data, putting it on top of what the triage nurse talked about, and really creating a good picture for, is this something that our team has been trained to provide definitive care for? And part of that care is going to be following up in a timely fashion, obviously. But there will be that discussion kind of throughout the encounter, and all the whole time the member gets to raise their hand at any point and say, look, I'd like to go in. So they're driving. But the nurse on scene is then, you know, kind of remotely tethered and communicating with another level of care to make sure that if we gather more intelligence, and an example would be, you know, their labs come back and there's a very concerning potassium level or something, we're either going to try and come up with a plan to address it, or we're going to say, hey, we need to shift to level 5 and help get you into the emergency department. And in the coming months, we're actually constructing the ability for that mobile urgent responder to even participate or advocate and be physically present for that emergency department visit. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to really stay present, you know, with our folks throughout the whole introduction.
All right. It is 7:45 on a Sunday morning. We're talking to Pete Carlson with LifeSpark about acute response services. And if you have a question or a comment, we've got one segment left here this morning at 651-461-9226. That's citiesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. We'll finish up with the Pete, right after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, we're back, and we have our last segment with a number of different questions from listeners this morning here. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Our guest, Pete Carlson, a vice president of acute response services with LifeSpark, and we're talking about urgent response services and kind of like the modern day house call of a doctor. So I'm just going to jump in, Pete, and ask you some, and we can click through as many as we can. A texter writes, is LifeSpark the same as palliative care? Do you want to respond to that?
Sure. So LifeSpark has a lot of offerings, and part of that is providing palliative services through our geriatricians and our advanced practice team when appropriate. And so short answer is yes, we're able to provide that level of care.
All right. And next, another one writes in, I just tuned in. I heard Blue Cross and UCare Pay. What if I have Medica as my Medicaid supplement? Can I just pay money to belong to LifeSpark and use your services? I'm 75, live alone, and don't have any family. That's a great text question.
Yeah, it's a great text question, and so thank you for asking it. And the short answer would be a couple of things. One, communicate your desires or, you know, your observations directly to Medica, and then obviously as you're able to, you know, if you can't get what you want, that's why there's a big market, and people are able to make decisions and change products. At this time, we are not offering this service through our organization directly to other self-pay folks. But obviously, please reach out. Happy to leave a phone number and website as well if that's helpful.
Okay, that's good. So this person that just texted, could they call, as you just mentioned, would they call their insurance provider and say, what about this service? And do you have any suggestions or any other places that might provide this service other than LifeSpark? That's what they might ask their own insurance person, correct?
Yeah. They may say, you know, do you have a relationship? There's another player in the market that is fantastic. They're called Dispatch Health, and they came into Minnesota in early 2024. So you may call and just say, hey, I, you know, heard this on the radio. Here's another example of who's doing this. You know, how can my needs be met? And
okay,
that way I am able to stay home.
And hopefully this listener is listening right now. That's called Dispatch Health. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay, good. And I mean, obviously there's competition in the marketplace, but you just said that. Is that, I mean, are you kind of all in this together? What's the ultimate goal?
Yeah, so I think the space in general is early innings, you know, to throw it into an analogy. And value-based care as a concept is still young. So it's very important that groups are, you know, working closely and well and effectively together, that being one example of it.
651-461-9226. That's our City's One Talk and text line. We're talking to, again, Pete Carlson with LifeSpark about acute response services. Texter again writes, is this just insurance that we subscribe to? If so, what is the cost? You kind of addressed that. But can you look at it like an insurance provider? It really is a healthcare provider, and your insurance would be Blue Cross Blue Shield or UCare? I guess I'll let
Correct.
You explain. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that this whole web of insurance and providers is so complicated, but it is. And so, you know, if you're a part of those products, or those companies, Blue Cross and UCare, please give them a call as well and ask for more clarity around, you know, is this something that is accessible to me? And then obviously happy to, you know, based on what the response is there, offer additional information when you reach out to us.
So what are you hearing from the people that you're working with, the clients, the family of clients? What's the response been?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, it's great. I mean, folks are, you know, really wanting to reach out, solve problems. They're accepting of the fact that it may or may not involve deploying someone. We have wonderful folks, you know, in our triage team, which is kind of the neurological system of all of this. But I mean, you know, the logistics for a traditional trip into their care emergency department, they only get more complicated as we age. They can often involve pulling in a family member to help drive, taking off work, et cetera. It really just depends on the individual. But this is great. I mean, we just kind of encourage folks to stay put, take a breath, get the information we need, share it back to that network of people. And so yeah, it's our feedback is fantastic and thankful for that. Obviously, if we need to escalate you up and into the emergency department, folks are a little bummed, but they're going in, you know, a little more prepared to answer some of the questions that are going to come their way.
Yeah, and because obviously, you know, emergency departments, ERs are busy. You know, we talk about being understaffed, and I think this would be perhaps a way to alleviate some of the burden, some of the stress that's on the systems as they are in the situations they're in right now.
Most definitely. Yeah, there's some real big advantages to the health systems, as this is a mechanism or a lever to kind of help decrease congestion, you know, or promote throughput. There's a lot of ways to put it. At the end of the day, we're trying to say, let's get who needs to be there, and let's keep the rest of the folks home.
And a texter just writes a short bit ago, is it available in the Twin Cities area? I guess, is that a question you might reach out to your office and ask that question? What is the coverage area?
Yeah, so the coverage area is quite large. It's all of the metropolitan counties, and then we even get a bit out of that area. So that 2,600 square mile comment earlier, that's kind of if you drop a pin, you know, at 394-94 and then cruise out about 45 miles in each direction. So, yes, we are absolutely present in the Twin Cities metropolitan area.
Why don't you say the phone number right now, and that way people can write this down if they're listening, and we'll have it here at the station as well. But what is that number to call if someone just has a basic question, you know, what's the area that you cover, et cetera, et cetera? Because I'm sure there are still a lot of questions that we didn't get all the way covered.
Yeah, the phone number is 952-345-8770.
It still kind of feels like I keep getting the question about money and does it cost anything? Like, really? So you come and sign up and everything's situated, and you personally, if you have UCare or Blue Cross Blue Shield, you personally don't have to pay for this service.
Yeah, so that's where the kind of the complication of this is, I'll call it annoying, for all of us. Just generally speaking, insurance can be a little confusing. But the payers that I mentioned earlier, you know, among many other payers, are showing a high level of interest in innovation. And so they've continued to make services like LifeSpark available. And the intent there is to encourage utilization of those services. So the, you know, the action step there, in addition to my request for folks to make advanced care plans, mm-hmm. meet with primary care, third one, talk to your payer, and seek that clarity. But yes, if you fall into the product and you're a part of our basket of services, we are incentivized to keep you healthy, happy, and home.
I all mean, right.
That's the short of it.
Happy, healthy, and home. That's what we all want in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it was really great to have you on. We have a lot of questions that did not get answered. So I want to make sure that folks know that number is 952-345-8770. Whether it's a question about coverage, a question about are you in the right area to have the service, and maybe whatever else comes to mind. So thank you so much. We really appreciate your coming on with us today, and we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, thank you both. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy. Again, Pete Carlson, LifeSpark, Vice President of Acute Response Services, with us on this Sunday morning on WCCO. We're back with news after this.